Okay, Hosea chapter 4, and we're going to pick up our thought in verse 15 through 17. Though you, Israel, play the harlot, let not Judah offend. Do not come up to Gilgal, nor go up to Beth-Aven, nor swear an oath, saying, as the Lord lives. For Israel is stubborn like a stubborn calf. Now the Lord will let them forage like a lamb in open country. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. All right. Diane, again, would you ask the blessing upon this word, please? So, as you know, Israel, Ephraim, they're all the one and the same. And the prophet here is speaking to basically the people of the southern kingdom, which is the kingdom of Judah. And they had been kind of watching what was going on, the different events that were happening in Israel. One of the blessings that Judah did experience is they had a few good kings. Israel didn't have any good kings. They all fell deep into idolatry. But Hosea's warning is clear to him. Don't meddle in the affairs of Israel. One of the reasons why is because their doom was sure, and the fact that the Lord didn't want them to go off into the same kind of sin that Israel had. Now, it says in verse 17 that they have joined themselves to idols. Let him alone. Don't have anything to do with it. Did you ever notice in the book of 1 John, what did it say to the church at the end of 1 John? Little children, keep yourselves from idols. So this is a message to the church here today. I mean, we don't maybe not worship idols of stone and wood, and so, although there probably are some who do. But there are idols in people's lives, you know, different things that they put before God. Anything that you put before God, anything that you fashion as a god, again, is an idol. So God dealt with the people of the northern kingdom of Israel with great long suffering. And again, he gave them a chance after chance after chance to repent. And what we see here is that God gives up the people of Israel to a reprobate mind. And the people of Israel were supposed to worship in Jerusalem. They were not to go to the hills and the shrines at Gilgal or Bethel. Hosea calls Beth-Haven, which means house of evil or deceit. Basically he's talking about Bethel. Bethel means house of God. But he can't bring himself to call it Bethel because it's not the house of God. It's the house of evil and deceit. There's a lot of churches out there who've become cult-like. You know, you can't really call them a church because of the fact they've departed from God. And when the nation became divided, we know that Jeroboam, he made basically a place where they would worship a golden calf and worship what they thought was who God was, but that's not who God was, and the people gave into this idol worship, and Bethel was one of the places where he set up one of the golden calves. We find in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 26 through 31, and Jeroboam said in his heart, now the kingdom may return to the house of David. He was concerned that the people were going to leave the northern kingdom and go back down to the southern kingdom, which many of the people did. If these people go up and offer sacrifices in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of the people will turn back to their Lord, Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and go back to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Therefore, the king asked advice, made two calves of gold, and said to the people, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Here are your gods, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. And he set one up in Bethel, and the other he put up in Dan. Now this thing became sin, for the people went to worship before the one as far as Dan. And he made shrines in the high places and made priests from every class of people who were not of the sons of Levi. Again, you know, they were the Levitical priesthood. They were the priests were only supposed to be from the tribe of Levi. Everything he did was totally contrary to what was God's will and purpose, and the ordinances of God. In his mind, he was causing the people to worship their God. But in fact, he was worshiping a God made up in his own imagination. And sadly, that's the case with a lot of people today. I've often talked to people who say, you know, my God wouldn't do that, when you tell them what the God of the Bible would do. Again, they're not worshiping the God of the Bible. They're worshiping a God of their own devising, a God made in their own image, which I, again, have said often is the highest form of idolatry. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, also Proverbs 16 and 25, both say this, and it bears repeating here. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So to Hosea, Israel's worship of idols, even in Bethel, which means the house of God, was evil. And to him, calling Bethel would be equivalent to taking God's name in vain. That's the way he looked at it. And so he called it Bethaven, which means house of evil or house of deceit. Now, don't think for a moment that if we as a church turn from God's ways and start doing our own thing while still thinking we're serving God, that we will continue in a relationship with him, because that is not the case. Remember, Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32 gives us a clear indication about those who once knew God, but they did not stay in that state. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest to them, or in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their own thoughts, and foolish, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. He's talking about the idols and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies amongst themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie. This is the problem. This is what they do. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use that is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased or reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, they are backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, and disobedient to parents. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, and unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also prove of those who practice them. We were talking earlier with Aaron. Aaron was saying he was in San Francisco with his wife earlier in the top of was it Knob Hill, did you say? Or there's a Catholic church up there. The steps of that church has painted on the rainbow flag. You know, this is what we're talking about here. You know, in the Christian church, there's a lot of things that they're allowing and doing that's just like the northern kingdom of Israel, which eventually would happen in the southern kingdom too. We're not just to assume that we are walking in the faith of God. We are to check ourselves to make sure that we're walking in the faith of God. That's something that God requires of us. Are we doing our will or are we doing his will? 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 8 says, examine yourself as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you indeed are disqualified? And I trust that you know that we are not disqualified. Now I pray, God, that you do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem to be disqualified. Now, why would Paul and his disciple or his compatriots there seem to be disqualified? Because they had these false teachers who were teaching these things, bringing accusation against them, saying that they weren't true apostles. So, because he goes on to say, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. So God likens the behavior of Israel to a stubborn calf, but the Lord would cause her to be like a lamb in open country. So what does this mean? I think about a lamb as probably one of the most defenseless, vulnerable animals that there is. They're not very smart, and they're easily led astray. Alone in open country, with nowhere to hide, they would not last very long. This was the case with the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom. Verses 18 through 19 says, their drink is rebellion. They commit harlotry continually. Her rulers dearly love dishonor. The wind has wrapped her in its wings, and they shall be ashamed because of their sacrifices. So again, like I said, Israel, like a lamb in an open place, would be picked up, like being picked up by a tornado or a whirlwind, and be scattered to the nations by those winds. And so all of it is because of God's judgment against them and because of their evil heart. Verse 1 through 4 in Hosea chapter 5 says, hear this, O priest, take heed, O house of Israel. Give ear, O house of the kings, for yours is the judgment, because you have been a snare to Mizpah and a net spread on the Tabor. The revolters are deeply involved in slaughter. Though I rebuke them all, I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, O Ephraim, you commit harlotry, and Israel is defiled. They do not direct their deeds toward turning to their God, for the spirit of harlotry is in their midst, and they do not know the Lord. Now, again, remember Hosea, he was married to a harlot. All of that was to picture what God viewed Israel to himself. They played the harlot with other gods, idols. And this is a serious thing with God. The problem was that the priests and the kings would all be judged because all of them had contributed to Israel's sin and departing from God. And this is, like I said, it's a serious thing with God because, you know, like the old saying, you know, it's his bat, it's his ball, it's his field, it's his rules, you know. And, you know, they weren't willing to do things God's way. They wanted to do things their way. And mostly the priests, these verses are the summation of evidence that the Lord has against them. This is kind of like at the end of a trial when they do this, the summation, you know, the judge begins to show the jurors what the law is and how it's to be applied. That's what's happening here. He condemned the king, but he also condemned the priests for trapping innocent people and exploiting them, and because there was no justice in the land. And as a result, the people were sinking in sin because of the spirit of harlotry within them, and they lacked the power to repent and to turn to God. And it's almost like they were paralyzed by the sin, just didn't have the ability to return. Now, Mizpah means watchtower, and I believe it speaks to the priests who were to be the watchmen on the watchtower. And again, equating this to our day, look at how many, you know, pastors there are and how many evangelists and things like that who haven't been good watchmen, you know, and who are actually giving in to the temptation to give in to the sin and things that God totally says, this is not according to my will. And the people who do those things are worthy of death, as we read in the book of Romans. Tabor means lofty place, and I believe it speaks of the king who should be watching over the people too. You look in our land today, we have, again, those who are in authority who are not watching over their people. And look at where we have gotten to. Some of the ideas people have, I mean, 10 years ago, if you had heard this, you would say, are these people stupid? You know? But that's where we are right now. And again, both of these places were hunting locations, and they're symbolic, you know, here of the leadership setting traps for idolatry, and the people willingly who are walking into it willingly. And it's just, again, like I said, it seems like that's what's happening in our country today. People are not saying anything, not doing anything. It's almost like people are willingly walking into it. But by doing so, they showed that they did not know God as a result. In 1 John 3, verse 2 through 10, it says, Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. This is what the church should be doing right now. We should be purifying ourselves, getting ready for the bridegroom. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sin, and there is no, and in him is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. That's there for a reason. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Who has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Remember, the Bible says we're born again not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness, doesn't mean you won't fail, but whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Now, I'm saying this because of the pretense of a lot of people who say they know God, but they continue in sin. Nor is he who does not love his brother. Verse 5 and 6 says, The pride of Israel testifies to his face. Therefore, Israel and Ephraim stumble in their iniquity. And it says, Judah also stumbles with them. Now the concern switches to the nation of Judah. With their flocks and herds, they shall go to seek the Lord, but they will not find him. He has withdrawn himself from them. Why? Because they're trying to seek God on their terms and not God's terms. And the Lord knew Israel, and he knew that Judah both, that this was a problem with them. And he knew that eventually they both would refuse to know him. That's what God's looking for in his church. He's looking for a church that truly knows him. Not just knows about him, but knows him in an intimate way. They were, in fact, what he referred to as reprobate. Judah, you know, they were included in that mix. The Lord told Judah this in Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 23. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity and will gather you from all the nations, from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. Because you have said, the Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king who sits on the throne of David, concerning the people who dwell in this city, and concerning your brethren who have not gone out with you into captivity. Excuse me. Thus says the Lord of hosts, Behold, I will send on them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and I will make them like rotten figs, that cannot be eaten. They are so bad. And I will pursue them with a sword, with famine and with pestilence, and I will deliver them to trouble among all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse, an astonishment, a hissing, and a reproach among all the nations where I have driven them. Boy, haven't we seen that throughout the history of Israel? Because they have not heeded my word, says the Lord, which I sent to them by my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, neither would they heed, says the Lord. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, all you of the captivity, whom I have sent from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning Ahab, the son of Koliah, and Zedekiah, the son of Masaniah, who prophesy a lie to you in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he will slay them before your eyes. And because of them, the curse shall be taken up by all the captivity of Judah who are in Babylon, saying, the Lord make you like Zedekiah and Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire. Because they have done disgraceful things in Israel and have committed adultery with their neighbors' wives and have spoken lies in my name, which I have not commanded them. Indeed, I know and am witness, says the Lord. So again, Jesus would testify against them here and give them a reason why they are judged. In the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 1 through 9, it says, then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And he answered and said to them, why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says of his father and mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift from God. Then you need not honor your father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. And the people are trying to do the same thing today in thinking that, well, God's, the Ten Commandments are done away with. No, they aren't. Don't be deceived. They aren't. He says, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you. These people draw near to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines and commandments of men. And we look at, again, Israel and Judah, and we wonder how that they could have been so deceived. And again, remember, we have an enemy of our souls whose purpose is to entice and to get us to commit spiritual adultery as well. And if you think it's not possible in our day, again, you need to study closely what Paul wrote to Timothy about the condition of the church and what it would be in the last day. I want to read this thing. I want to try to break it down. I know that you're all familiar with it, but I want to break it down so you can see what I'm talking about here. It says, but know this, in the last days, perilous times shall come. I remember Brother Horton sharing on this subject, in this particular portion of Scripture. And he said that the Lord spoke to him. He said, I speak of the church. And he's talking to the church here. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, forgiving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so these also would resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. Now, Jannes and Jambres were magicians. I always get those words mixed up. They were magicians that basically came against Moses and Aaron when they came to Pharaoh. And they performed a lot of the miracles. And this is what you got to understand. Just because people perform miracles doesn't mean it's necessarily of God. And this should be a picture for us right here. And it says, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. But you, he says, now this is what he, after reading all of that, he says this, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, love, and perseverance. He didn't say, you've carefully followed my miracles and the things that I've done and my traditions and what have you. But he goes on to say, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra, what persecutions I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and listen, imposters. Sometimes we read over that without really understanding what he's talking about here. Those who are in pretense will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. People are just, today, they're wanting to believe what the world has to offer and explain away the Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. And what happened to Israel and Judah should cause us to sound the alarm today within all the churches and for all the churches. You know, many people claim to love God, but their lives reflect that they really just love themselves. And woe be to anybody who would try to come against anything that they want. In May of 1996, there was a fellow by the name of Mark Fisher of the Washington Post who wrote an article titled, Kansas Preacher Absolutely Creates a Stir with Prayer. He told of a pastor who was talking to one of his members who was a state legislator. In the conversation, the legislator said, if you're going to be at the state capitol tomorrow, would you honor us by delivering the opening prayer? The pastor agreed, saying that he would be honored to do so. The pastor did not write out the prayer, and he sat down and he jotted some things down on a piece of paper, but this is something that he just presented, you know, to the legislators from his heart, I believe. It was noted that the prayer was so disturbing to the legislators that two of them actually got up and walked out. What could be so alarming that it would cause such a disruption as this? One thing, it was the truth, what he said. And people do not want the truth nowadays. I want you to listen to what Pastor Joe Wright prayed before the Kansas legislatures. Heavenly Father, we come here today to ask your forgiveness and seek your direction and guidance. Lord, we know your word says, woe to those who call evil good, but that's exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and inverted our values. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it moral pluralism. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building esteem. We have abused power and called it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and call it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today, and try us and see if there be some wicked way in us, and cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide and bless these men and women who have been sent here by the people of Kansas, who have been ordained by you to govern this great state. Grant them your wisdom to rule, and may their decisions direct us to the center of your will. I ask this in the name of your Son, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Now they were expecting an ecumenical prayer that would soothe everyone, but instead it caused an uproar, not only in the state of Kansas, but all across the nation. Paul Harvey mentioned this on an ABC newscast, and more than 6,500 phone calls came into the pastor's church office. The church had received so much mail that they didn't know where to put it all. Representative Jim Long told the Kansas City Star he had made everybody mad. In Colorado, Representative Mark Pascal read the pastor's prayer to his colleagues, and the liberal Democrats called the prayer racist. It's racist and divisive. We live in an age when people are possessed with the love of themselves. And how dare anyone tell them the Bible is filled with absolutes that God is going to hold us accountable for obeying. We have categorized sinners in many ways. Again, a thief is one who steals, a liar is one who lies, adulterer is one who commits adultery, idolatry is the one who worships idols, the coveter is one who wants what somebody else has. However, we classify sinful man, whatever we call him, it can be really summed up in this, that he's not loving others, he's loving himself. When you commit sin against another, it's because you're putting yourself before them. And the Bible says when we walk like we should walk before Jesus, we should be putting others before ourselves. Again, there's a reason why there's so much wickedness. It's because people are indeed lovers of themselves. Paul mentioned all this wickedness as he warned Timothy. And notice what he said. He said, from such turn away. And why did Paul warn Timothy to turn away from wicked people? Because he loved Timothy, and he did not want Timothy to be contaminated by their sin. Why does God tell us to turn away from people who are lovers of themselves? He warns us to turn away because there's a good chance if we associate with them, we will soon become like them. And the Bible says evil communications corrupt good morals. The danger of living in Sodom and Gomorrah of today is that we'll soon become like those with whom we have contact. This is the strategy of the homosexuals. Acceptance will come with constant exposure. Folks, they recognized that as long as they stayed in the closet, they would never be accepted. And so they came out, and they infiltrated schools. They're on the streets in large numbers. They make up a good percentage of television and movie stars. They've been allowed to take part in our government, and they have even infiltrated the churches today. And every time that they get a chance, they want to push the word gay to make someone use it as a household name that's accepted. That strategy is actually, it has worked, sad to say. They push to legalize same-sex marriages, and they actually think that the day is going to come when that's going to be as common as the opposite sex marriage. They're deceived in their hearts and in their minds. You can't associate with ungodly people on the job and watch all the adultery and the cursings, rebellion, the perversion that they do, and watch it on television 20 to 30 hours a week and not be contaminated by it. It has its effect upon you. There was a terrible airplane crash of the ValueJet Flight 596 that occurred in May of 1996 in Dade County, Florida, and it goes down in history as one of the worst tragic crashes in history. The reason why is because it was impossible for divers to immediately search for the crash wreck victims. Special precautions had to be made because of the alligators and because the water was contaminated by dangerous jet fuel. Special diving suits had to be shipped, and because they recognized the contaminated waters would do much more harm to the divers. One of the things that Christians need to understand is that we live in a society that is corrupted, that's corrupted within, and it's corrupted without. You know, it's contaminated. It's contaminated. And I believe this is why we're given the instruction in Romans 12 and 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may prove what is the good and what is the acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't buy everything that you hear from preachers. Don't buy everything that you hear from the evangelists and stuff. Get to know the Word of God yourself. Change your mind. So every day, we as Christians, we have to be on alert. We can't accept what the world endorses. And Paul says, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Dr. Leland Kennedy is the president of the Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. On one occasion, when he was addressing a large number of preachers, he expressed his concern that God's churches have become like the world. He lamented the fact that one-time fundamental Bible churches have changed for the worse. He told the pastors of how he dedicated himself to keeping the Baptist Bible College as a Bible teaching college, but that it was getting harder and that it was getting harder to keep it that way. He stated that the reason was because the college draws students from churches where pastors were no longer preaching. If we love God, we will be separated in our lives from the world. Now, the students who attend are such lovers of themselves that they cannot have something their way. They'll call their parents, and their parents will call the pastors, and again, you know, it just snowballs. And rather than taking a stand for the Word of God, the pastors a lot of times buckle under that kind of pressure, and, you know, they call this particular man and tell him their concern, and that's why he feels this way. What's happening in our nation, you know, is this very thing. I think, honestly, folks, I really believe that years ago when they had McCarthyism and they were trying to keep communism out of our society and the ungodless teachings of communism and things like that, it opened the door, though, when they ended that, for every manner of doctrine and teaching to come into our schools. And the schools have actually poisoned the minds of young people, so much so that they are indeed folks that are just merely lovers of themselves. If it feels good, do it, is the mantra today. You know, there's no absolutes, no absolutes of God's Word. And what a tragedy that is, because we are living so close to the coming of the Lord. There are many who think they serve God who will be left behind, because the Lord will say, get away from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. This is cause for concern. But for believers, we need to look at God's Word and accept it as absolute truth and not try to reason it away and not allow people to try to get us to that place where we're going to say something that is contrary to God's Word. But hold on to His truth. It will not make you popular, but it's what God's called us to do. Any questions or thoughts before we close in prayer? Diane?